What's up, everybody? Welcome in. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on this early Thursday morning right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. We got Gino down in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. He got busy on Wednesday with practice, and he's a part of the Scouting Academy. So he posted a five-minute practice update for you guys on yesterday's podcast. And of course, you can find that episode and all episodes on any podcast provider or at lockedoneagles.com. And he had a lot of great stuff to say about day one. As for Wednesday's practice and Thursday's, we're going to have Gino on the show live for another bonus episode today. So we'll get into what he's seen the past 2 days of practice. And we'll also get into some defensive players to watch in the Senior Bowl, the game this weekend that takes place between the North and the South. So a better evaluation for the fans to be able to see, you know, on television. You'll really get to see a live game. 11-on-11, and I feel like that's a better evaluation. Don't get me wrong, I love the one-on-ones between wide receivers and corners, offensive linemen and defensive linemen, but the game will give you guys a better perspective and one that you can actually view. So we'll give you, I talked about a lot of wide receivers yesterday because I think that's the most important position on offense that the Eagles should be looking at in Mobile. Today, I want to focus on the defense now. Talk about maybe some defensive linemen. I mean, the guys like Javon Kinlaw are down there. What cornerbacks could interest the Eagles as they are desperate for defensive back help in 2020. So that's coming up as well this week on Locked On Eagles. As for today, I want to get into an update on the offensive coordinator position that is still open for the Eagles. There's been a lot of candidates that they've apparently been interested in that the candidates, though, however, have not been interested in the Eagles, so we'll get into that. As well as the Eagles are interested, let me ask you if you've heard this before, in the last decade, the Eagles are interested in signing a big-named free agent cornerback this spring. That sounds pretty familiar. Should that worry you? Should that excite you? Is there a middle to that you should feel? We'll get into that as well on this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. So we'll take one quick break, and then we will touch on the coaching staff first, and then we'll get into the cornerback position. This is Louis DiBiase on the Locked On Eagles podcast, and we are sponsored today by Blue Chew. Blue Chew isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guys who want that extra performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUECHEW, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back into a Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase here joining you. You can follow me on Twitter to always talk birds 24/7. I work the overnight shift at the radio station, so I am always on Twitter at DiBiase, L-O-E. Our show page is at Locked On Birds, and Gino is on at Gino_L-O-E. And if, God forbid, one of us don't respond, Lars is at LarsLewis12. I want to get into here, I teased it in segment one, I want to get into the Eagles' offensive coordinator position that is still not filled. And, you know, the likes of Joe Brady, Graham Harrell, Mike Kafka, James Urban, they've all either stayed put where they are, they've taken other positions, and it just seems like a lot of these offensive minds want to run their own offense because they see so many different play callers when they have success. When they have success, especially with young quarterbacks, they get head coaching jobs really quickly. I mean, Bill LaFleur was all the way into the NFC Championship game this year with the Green Bay Packers in the first year, and a lot of people were saying, well, maybe he shouldn't even be a head coach because, you know, he just knew Sean McVay, right? And he was with McVay for a couple years there, so he got an OC job in Tennessee, and that elevated him up, even though Tennessee wasn't great that year offensively. You know, Mariota was hurt almost the entire season. It didn't matter. LaFleur was seen as a young, progressive offensive mind in the Packers. You know, it worked out for sure. Again, he made it to the NFC title game, but that just shows that the trajectory is when you know offensive guys that have had success in the league and then you go on to play call, NFL teams really, really like that. So that does kind of hurt the Eagles' chances of adding a really good offensive mind here at OC because Doug Peterson runs the show. At the same time, though, I've said it before, I feel like for a Mike Kafka, who's a quarterback coach right now, I know Kafka's in a unique scenario, though, because Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, he's going to get a head coaching job somewhere. So Kafka will end up getting play calling duties with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that is an ideal spot. So I understand Kafka not wanting to go to Philly, Andy Reid not allowing Kafka to go. But at the same time, for like a Graham Harrell, I know he runs the offense in USC, but again, a young guy like that, a former quarterback who had success at the college level turning around that offense, different offensive concepts. He uses air raid, he uses spread, West Coast, you name it. If he can make the jump to Philadelphia, where he's helping out Doug Peterson with game planning and he's helping out Carson Wentz progress in year five, and if they have a great year, Graham Harrell is a guy that I bet you is a head coaching candidate. So I'm kind of surprised that nobody is interested in this. You know, James Urban, the Ravens quarterback coach, wasn't interested. It doesn't seem like Joe Brady, the new Panthers offensive coordinator, was interested. Graham Harrell, or even Mike Kafka, who was drafted by Philadelphia and knows Doug Peterson very well. So it's tough. I think it's still a good job for a young coach, but you know, it makes sense that they want to run, you know, their own offense. So with that being said, where do the Eagles go from here? Well, an interesting column was posted on Wednesday in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and it was from Jeff McClain, and he was talking about, and I've suggested this before on Locked On Eagles, maybe as a quarterback coach, but even I'm comfortable with him making the leap already to offensive coordinator in his first year being an NFL coach, and that's Josh McCown, the Eagles' backup quarterback from 2019. This article said that in his end-of-the-year meeting with Doug Peterson, general manager Howie Roseman, and Jeffrey Lurie, Doug, Howie, and Lurie talked to McCown about a potential coaching job in 2020, and maybe it seemed like offensive coordinator was mentioned. So that first off is a really good sign that Doug Peterson knew it was time to move on from Mike Groh if he did talk about OC specifically, because there was that rumor that maybe Jeffrey Lurie kind of took executive action here and overruled Doug and said, no, Mike Groh is not coming back. Carson Walsh is not coming back. You're going to hire new guys here. But if Doug talked to McCown during the end of the year meeting about this position, that's before he let go of Mike Groh and Carson Walsh. So that's a positive sign that, because you want Doug to realize that. I'm okay with Lurie taking over command there when that decision had to be made. Some people don't like it, and I get it. They want Doug. He earned the right to, you know, call the shots with his staff, but I'm okay with it just because I didn't want Groh and Walsh here anymore. It is a good sign, though, that Doug did have that self-reflection, that self-realization that there needed to be, you know, new, fresh minds. And I think McCown, while he was on the team last year, I think McCown is a new, fresh mind, and he has some coaching experience. Like Doug Peterson before the NFL, McCown coached at the high school level this year while being Carson Wentz's backup. I thought he was tremendous for the Eagles practice squad receivers and, you know, offensive players in general to get them ready, to get them on the same page with Wentz. And I thought he was huge for Carson Wentz. So I'm okay with him being OC. Again, this is, I'm not freaking out about the position because this is Doug Peterson's offense. Again, I don't want to downplay, because I have been one to complain about Mike Groh. I don't want to say that they don't need a fresh perspective, for sure. They still need someone better with game planning help, you know, player development. At the same time, though, as long as Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz are here, I think the bigger boost on offense this year is going to be health and new weapons. I think that's going to make this offense great again. I mean, even last year, the Eagles were 12th in the NFL in points per game. They were 4th on third down, 4th in first downs, number 2 in time of possession, and they were an elite red zone offense. They were a top 5 red zone offense as well. So Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, as long as they're the guys, you're going to be okay. But if I had to say who the best candidate for the job is right now at offensive coordinator, Jim Caldwell maybe, or Josh McCown, I would say those are the two options, because again, Brady is in Carolina, Kafka staying put in Kansas City, Graham Harrell staying put at USC. So, you know, James Urban, by the way, is staying in Baltimore, and I would imagine Greg Roman gets a head coaching job eventually. So James Urban will probably be going from QB coach to Lamar Jackson's OC. So it's hard to lure those guys away when they're all in great situations, outside of maybe Harrell. I'm confused about Harrell. And also Jay Gruden got hired this week as Jacksonville's offensive coordinator. So I think Caldwell or maybe McCown. I'm okay with McCown making that Kellen Moore-like leap. I would love to see how that pans out in 2020. All right, so coming up next, I want to talk about the rumor or the report from Tony Pauline of the Pro Football Network that he's heard. You know, it's still a rumor. It's not an actual fact quite yet, but Tony Pauline is someone that when he says something about the Eagles, normally it is correct. He said that the Eagles are interested in landing a big fish free agent at the cornerback position. Who? He did name two specifics, and I'll get into what I think about that. Coming up next, right here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, we are also sponsored today by Calm. We talk about physical fitness a lot on this podcast because you have to be fit in the NFL. It's a 16 grueling game schedule. But there's also another side to the game that's just as important, and I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James, I think the GOAT himself, to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, you have less stress, and you perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. And if you head to calm.com/lockedon, you'll get 40% off of a Calm premium membership. So prepare like LeBron with your mental space. Head over to calm.com/lockedon. You'll get a 40% off discount to an annual membership. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Once again, get started at calm.com/lockedon. That's calm.com/lockedon. All right, everybody, we are wrapping up this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. We have another episode posting later today, specifically about the defensive side of the football down in Mobile, Alabama. Who should Eagles fans watch for on defense this Saturday in the game? Gino's going to get into it. He's been evaluating all of the prospects at practice from Tuesday all the way till Friday, and then the game on Saturday. So who should the Eagles be interested at cornerback, at safety, at linebacker, at defensive line? Like I said yesterday, they could really use an upgrade at almost every position, or maybe not an upgrade because you have guys like Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, and Malcolm Jenkins, but you could use depth at least and replacements at every single position, including cornerback. And apparently, this is what I woke up to this morning and didn't know how to feel initially, because when I hear a report that the Eagles are interested in signing a big-named free agent cornerback, that terrifies me because of Nnamdi Asamoah, because of Byron Maxwell. You two have scarred me. And although they didn't sign him in free agency, they traded Kevin Cobb for Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and those three moves just were absolute tire fires. And really, free agency in general, I mean, the best move the Eagles have made at corner and in drafting too is probably what? Signing Patrick Robinson, I would say, in the last decade, because Asante Samuel obviously was the move. But from 2010 on, what's the Eagles' best success they've had acquiring a corner? I would maybe say it's Patrick Robinson, who was one of the best slot corners in the NFL in 2017. I don't know, maybe drafting Brandon Boykin? I mean, the Eagles have been a disaster when it comes to evaluating this position specifically, and especially free agents. We could also talk about smaller free agents like Kerry Williams and, God, Bradley Fletcher. This is just hurting my brain rehashing all of these names. So, yes, I'm terrified to hear that they're interested in big-name free agents, specifically Chris Harris and Byron Jones, the Broncos corner and the Cowboys corner. But at the same time, I want to take a step back from just big named free agent cornerback. That is very scary for an Eagles fan to hear. But at the same time, you got to understand, as I said, with signing value guys, with drafting early and late like Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, and God, they drafted what, Curtis Marsh in the third round? Every other way too they've tried to add talent to this position really hasn't worked out well either. I would say maybe the value guys has worked out better than anything else because of Patrick Robinson, Jalen Mills in the seventh round, Avante Maddox in the fourth, getting Craven LeBlanc off the streets of free agency. So that maybe that's the best success they've had, is actually the lowest percentage areas of probably success in finding a really good corner. But again, they haven't had success anywhere. So I'm all for anything at this point. Just continue to throw darts at the wall. Just hope something sticks. And maybe it's Chris Harris. Maybe it's Byron Jones. These are two very proven players. I think they're not Nnamdi Asamoah. I don't think they're Byron Maxwell either. Byron Maxwell was a CB2 that thrived off of having three Hall of Fame secondary members with him in Seattle, and Nnamdi Asamoah was on the tail end of his career looking for that last big payday. I don't think that's Chris Harris. And also, by the way, Nnamdi was in a defense that he just didn't fit in schematically with Juan Castillo. I remember they were using significant off coverage with Asante Samuel, but at the same time Nnamdi was pressing. They wanted to do some zone, some man. They just could never figure out what they wanted to do on defense. That's what happens when you hire an offensive line coach. I don't, even though Chris Harris is 31, I don't think Harris and I don't think Byron Jones fit in the same category of big free agent corners with Nnamdi and with Byron Maxwell. Byron Jones specifically, I'm all in on. I like that better than Harris. Jones is an elite athlete. I've never seen someone destroy the combine much like Byron Jones did back a couple years ago. He can play all across the field, cornerback on the outside, cornerback on the inside. He's played safety too. He played a lot of safety at UConn and even in Dallas. He can shadow your team's best weapons, not just receivers, but when the Cowboys played the Eagles, Byron Jones was going mano a mano with Zach Ertz. I want that kind of guy. We can say, and we'll see if Jim Schwartz ever decides to do this, but hey, Byron Jones, go shut down Amari Cooper for the day. We want you on him. That's all I want you focused on, is stopping Amari Cooper. So, and he's also only 27 years old, which really fits the young prime mold of talent acquisitions that the Eagles want to focus on this free agency and also this draft. Byron Jones is the choice. I'm excited about that. Again, I get terrified to hear the report that they want to sign a big money corner in free agency, but then when you look at who they are, they both actually make a whole lot of sense. Byron Jones is a guy that, you know, you can just trust him to not get roasted with double moves. He can make plays on the ball, get their body turned around when the ball's up in the air, and not have no chance of covering the guy successfully if he doesn't have a safety over top or if he's playing 10 yards off the ball, right? He can play press man coverage with a cover zero scheme here, all out blitz, and he'll be okay. I really like the idea of Byron Jones, even though he's a Dallas Cowboy. I know we're all scarred because of Orlando Scandrick and, you know, DeMarco Murray, but Byron Jones, I think, is an exception here. And by the way, just for reference for Jones, he ranked 15th out of 134 cornerbacks graded by Pro Football Focus in 2019, and he was 7th in 2018, and he made the Pro Bowl. So once again, this is not a player that's at the tail end of their career. Is it going to cost money to sign Byron Jones? Absolutely, but as me and Gino have said, we're okay still with going in on guys, veterans, if they're in their prime, and you know, even some older guys if the value is right. Money, I'm not concerned. The Eagles have a lot of cap space this year. There's always ways to pay a player if you want. I'm in on Byron Jones, a 27-year-old corner with that kind of capabilities. Just do it. Again, keep trying until you finally figure out this damn position. As for Chris Harris, look, I get wanting to be young at this position, and that's what they've kind of tried over the last 3 years with drafting Sidney Jones in the second round, Rasul Douglas in the third, Avante Maddox in the fourth, and Jalen Mills in the seventh, trading a third-round pick for Ronald Darby, who's, what, 24, 25 years old. So I get that, and I'm okay with going into the 2020 season with a very early draft pick with Avante Maddox maybe at slot or at safety, and Craven LeBlanc also in there, and maybe even Sidney Jones and a Byron Jones. Like, I like that youth movement for sure. I would love to be the Green Bay Packers, where I have a bunch of young, shutdown defensive backs at corner and safety. I'd kill for Kevin King and Jair Alexander. At the same time, you can't never sign veterans now just because you have to get younger. And I think Chris Harris, yeah, he's going on 31, but again, I'll take any proven talent at cornerback that I can get. I even with Chris Harris, I'm still going to want to draft one early. If Christian Fulton is there, if CJ Henderson is there at pick 21, Trayvon Diggs, you know, those are the kind of players that get them, have Maddox and LeBlanc as your inside guys, and have Chris Harris as an outside corner. I don't hate that really at all. It's players that I trust, and I haven't trusted an Eagles corner in a very long time, since Asante Samuel, or maybe Nnamdi Asamoah week one, until I saw him get burned by Steven Jackson and the St. Louis Rams led by, you know, Sam Bradford. So Harris is another versatile player that's proven with Denver. He's been one of the best two-way corners in the league, you know, playing outside and inside. I wouldn't want to spend big on Chris Harris because he has an injury history. He is 31, so he would be hopefully more of a value signing compared to Byron Jones, not a value signing in general where you're going to get him on a super inexpensive contract. Chris Harris in the open market is going to get paid a pretty hefty amount. I mean, 31, you see guys like Jonathan Joseph play for another, 6 years. I'm not going to break the bank for Chris Harris, but I don't hate that the Eagles are once again interested in him like they were at the trade deadline, but Denver wanted too much and he was a rental player, very similar to the Robbie Anderson situation where the Eagles weren't going to give up a second round pick for, 8 games of Chris Harris and then maybe decide to re-sign him. But again, I know it's scary. That was my initial thought, too, is, oh, no, not this again. Please, this hasn't worked. But the other, then I took a deep breath, I counted to 10, and I said, wait, everything else they've done really hasn't worked either. So let's just go for it. And I think Byron Jones would be, between him, Maxwell, and, Nnamdi, I think it's hands down he's in another category. And, of course, Nnamdi was at the top of his game. When he was at the top of his game, I should say, he was with Darrelle Revis as the top corners, the top two in the NFL. But I don't think that was the case when he came to Philadelphia. I think Byron Jones right now, at 27 years old, I'm in on that for sure. I want to draft a guy. I'd rather have Christian Fulton than those guys. I'd kill for an Okuda instead of those guys. I like Trayvon Diggs out of Alabama in the first round as well. He's who I had on my first mock draft on Mock Draft Monday. So I want to prioritize youth, but I'm cool with this report. This doesn't scare me a whole lot. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, we have another episode coming up, so that's why you have to subscribe, because anytime we post our 4 to 6 episodes a week, they're going to download instantly into your phone. Just tell Siri or Alexa to play Locked On Eagles. And if you guys could, we really appreciate when you leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, wherever you listen. It really helps us grow the show, and we appreciate everyone who has done that for me and Gino. I'm signing off. We'll be back later on. This is Lou DiBiase of Locked On Eagles. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.